everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad that everyone is able to access the line and attend the assembly. Obviously, we are convening by order, allowing for the remote participation for the Governor's Council, signed by the executive order dated March 23rd, 2020, by Governor Baker. It allows for the assembly to also be recorded. So this is being recorded as I speak, and the audio transcript of the proceeding will be made available to the public through the Office of the Governor's Council, including through posting on its webpage. Okay? All right.
Yep.
So I'd like to begin with our prayer and pledge, and then just do a roll call of the members of the Governor's Council. Councilor Jubinville, can you please lead us?
I can, and happy afternoon to everybody, and I wish everybody well. My prayer or thoughts today are obviously on this terrible pandemic that's sweeping the world. And maybe a moment's thoughts and prayers for all of our citizens, the Commonwealth and the United States and people of the world. It appears that nobody will go without being affected to some degree by this terrible pandemic. So I wish everybody Godspeed and we get through this.
Amen.
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 Okay.
To the flag
of the United States of America,
and
to the republic, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. And thank you, Councilor Jubinville, for leading us in prayer today. The governor and our entire team wish each one of you and your families health throughout this epidemic. We're all doing our part, including by conducting business in this manner in order to keep the wheels of government moving, but also doing it in a way that is safe for everyone involved. We thank you for your leadership and for your attention today. And again, we're just thinking of all of you and miss being with you in person today. One of the things we need to do is to address the tabulation and certification of votes cast in the March 3rd special election to fill a vacancy in the House of Representatives. And I would like to recognize Councilor Kennedy for a motion to record certification that Kate Lipper Garabedian has been elected representative in the general court from the 32nd Middlesex State Representative District.
So moved, Governor.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Do we want to do that by roll call? That was a unanimous. We don't need to do that.
Yes. I thought you need a roll call. Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we just go around just and say whether you're here. Joe Ferreira, District 1.
Yes.
Bob Jubinville, District 2.
Present.
Marilyn Petito Devaney, District 3.
Present.
Chris Iannella, District 4.
Present.
Eileen Duff, District 5.
Hello.
Eileen Duff, District 5.
Not here.
Eileen was on the call. She might be having an issue with her headset.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Okay. We got Eileen Duff, District 5. Loud
and
clear.
I was on it. I'm present. Sorry.
Okay. Terrence Kennedy, District 6.
Present.
And Mary Hurley, District 8.
Here.
Okay. So the motion was made and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Thank you. The newly elected representative will be sworn in today once this assembly is concluded. So thank you. I'd like to recognize Councilor Hurley for a motion to record advice and consent for the financial warrant.
So moved.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 This warrant will cover the matters through the for 6 weeks for you to know that detail as well.
Thank you.
Like to recognize Councilor Kennedy for a motion to record advice and consent for the pending list of notaries public and justices of the peace.
So moved, Governor.
Second, Councilor Deviani.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. None opposed. There is a motion that I'll ask for regarding a nomination and consent and advice for the appointment. And after that, I will ask each counselor if they wish to comment, and then we will proceed with the roll call, and we will have comments by order of your district. So I'd like to recognize Councilor Jubinville for a motion to record advice and consent to the appointment of Mara Johnston Hardiman to the position of Associate Justice of the Juvenile Court.
So moved.
Second, okay. This is Councilor Deviani, and I do have a statement.
Well, wait a minute.
I have a letter that I want to put. Okay, go ahead.
This is a motion and a second. And we have comments from the members of the council. Just let me go in the order. I think it will just be clearer.
That's true. Okay.
From Joe Ferreira, District 1.
No comment.
Robert Jubinville, District 2.
Great nomination, great appointment. She's a great lady. She'll make a great judge, in my view. Good appointment.
Okay, thank you. Marilyn Petito Devaney, District 3.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that her hearing was outstanding, and Attorney Hardiman had two clients, a couple who she really shepherded through and got successfully had them adopt two little children. It was really, it was beautiful. It was really, really touched your heart. I would like, Lieutenant Governor, to put in the record a letter from Omar Hernandez, the senior judge. Dear counselors, I understand that Mara Hardiman is seeking an appointment as an associate justice with the Juvenile Trial Court. Please note my enthusiastic endorsement of her candidacy. I first met Mara over 10 years ago through close mutual friends. My wife, Jennifer, an area program manager from the Department of Children and Families, and Mara share common professional interests, and I quickly learned of Mara's intelligence, integrity, patience, impartiality, and compassion. Mara is a highly motivated individual of stellar moral character. She can handle any situation with respect and professionalism. I find that Mara has an exceptional dedication to the law and exhibits the highest necessary standard for the judicial profession. Mara possesses both the professional and personal skills to keep a contemplative, open mind, which judicially weighing all facts from a disciplined and objective point of view. Mara has the temperament and experience requisite to serve as an associate justice in the juvenile court. I am privileged and honored to present this character reference for my friend. Mara's intellect, understanding, and humility will make her an outstanding addition to the bench. I give her my strongest recommendation, and I appreciate your consideration of my views. If you would like to discuss this information with me further, please feel free to contact me. Very truly yours, Omar Hernandez, Senior Judge, and this was for all counselors. But, you know, Lieutenant Governor, I look for compassion and empathy, and I am especially you know, look for the people who are going on our juvenile trial court. And it may be a long time ago, but I did volunteer as a counselor for juveniles on probation. So it gave me an insight of what's going on with some of these, their lives. So I know it's so much more serious now in these days. So we need someone like her. And so I just want to put that letter in the record. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for submitting the letter and for reading it for the counselor's benefit. Councilor Ionella, District 4, any comments?
Yes, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Excellent appointment.
Eileen Duff, District 5.
No comment.
Terry Kennedy, District 6.
A fantastic nomination, Governor.
Mary Hurley, District 8.
Great candidate. Make a great judge.
Okay. There's been a motion and a second. We may commence with the roll call.
Councilor Ferreira?
Yes.
Councilor Jubaville?
Yay.
Councilor Devaney?
Yes.
Councilor Ionella?
Yes.
Councilor Duff?
Yes.
Councilor Kennedy?
Yes.
Councilor Hurley?
Yes.
7-0.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to recognize Councilor Ionella for a motion to record advice and consent for the appointment of Brian P. Frain to the position of Associate Justice of the Juvenile Court.
So moved.
Second.
And there's a second.
Councilor Devaney, yep.
And we will accept comments from councilors, starting with Joseph Ferreira, District 1.
Great appointment. No other comment. Thank you.
Robert Jubinville, District 2.
Yeah, ditto that. Great appointment.
Marilyn Petito Devaney, District 3.
Lieutenant Governor, we hit it out of the park with these two. And Brian Frain, when you see and hear his background, it is outstanding. And some of the cases he's had, and he follows through. He doesn't, after it's over, he follows through with that family. I mean, they've had, the trials that he's had, the cases, infants who are abused by a mother, a father sexually abusing a child, a father killing the wife, and he looked after those two youngsters and through the years. That's what we need on the bench. We need compassion and empathy, and we've got them. And Brian, and we've got them in both of the candidates today that, you know, that we are voting on. So I'm very pleased. I really am, because Mara and Brian will really care about the people who come before them. Thank you.
Okay. Christopher Ionella, District 4.
Outstanding appointment.
Eileen Duff, District 5.
No comment.
Harry Kennedy, District 6.
I agree. Outstanding appointment.
And Mary Hurley, District 8.
I agree with the comments. He's an amazing man, and he's going to be an amazing judge.
Okay. We have a motion, a second, comments, and we may begin the roll call.
Councilor Jubinville?
Yes.
Councilor Devaney?
Yes.
Councilor Ionella?
Yes.
Councilor Duff?
Yes.
Councilor Kennedy?
Yes.
Councilor Hurley?
Yes.
Councilor Ferreira?
Yes.
7-0.
Okay, thank you. We also have a further nomination. I'd like to recognize Councilor Duff for a motion to record advice and consent for the appointment of Karen M. Costello to the position of Clerk Magistrate of the Newberry Court District Court.
So moved, Governor.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. And we can entertain comments, beginning with Joseph Ferreira, District 1.
Great nomination, Governor. Thank you.
Robert Jubinville, District 2.
Yeah, originally I had indicated, I think, in a text that I didn't think we needed a hearing. I reconsidered that. I think we probably should have had a hearing, but we're not going to have one. My issue is not so much with this lady. I don't know her. She seems like a fine lady. My issue is with the extremely large amount of campaign contributions given by her husband to just about every politician in the State House and elsewhere. I don't think I've ever seen the amount of campaign contributions given by any candidate since I've been on the council. We did have a candidate that gave $100,000 in campaign contributions, but I don't believe it was as many separate campaign contributions. So I'm troubled by that because I'm troubled by the perception that the citizens of the Commonwealth will have when they see that, and they see the lady getting this position at $150,000+. And on top of that is the fact that today we're involved in this pandemic and there's tens of thousands of citizens in the Commonwealth that are thrown out of work. They don't know where their next paycheck is coming from or how to pay the rent or the mortgage. And they don't know whether they're ever getting their jobs back. I think it probably should have been done at a different time. But again, if passed as prologue, she's going to get voted in, but not with my vote. I can't do that with the amount of campaign contributions that the perception of the public is not a good one. And I think it takes something away from this council to give that perception that somehow we're involved in it. Thank you.
Okay, Councilor Marilyn Petito, Devaney, District 3.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Before I make my comment, I was going to include it, but my colleague, Councilor Juvenville, said it quite nicely. I would top him because in my 21 years, I have never seen three pages, and the font was like a six of all the people that this nominee's husband has contributed to. I mean, everyone. I mean, I think there was like 2,000 if you look in before that to the governor and so forth, and every politician you could think of. And it is perception, and you know, and that's why if we had a hearing, we could have heard from the nominee. And I stated it, and this is the wrong process. So I just want to say on the record for people to know, Lieutenant Governor, over 50 years ago, to the credit of the then Governor's Council, they established a protocol where all nominees shall have a public hearing before the Governor's Council and then voted at the next public assembly. Over these decades, with this past practice, not one of the thousands of nominees for judges, clerk magistrates, members of boards and commissions has ever been voted by the Governor's Council without a hearing. We follow a public process that begins with, number one, a newspaper notice advising the public there is a nominee and when the Governor's Council hearing is scheduled. Two, a public website advising people of the nominee and the date of the hearing, welcoming the public to attend. Three, the council conducts a public hearing. Four, council votes the next week at the public assembly on that nominee who has had a public hearing. We were notified that this hearing was rescheduled for today, and due to this pandemic, rightfully so, it was canceled. But instead, the council is just going to vote for the nominee anyway without a hearing. There is no emergency to violate over 50 years of public past practice and open process of hearings. We are not a private group who will decide who will have a hearing and who will not have a hearing. We are a public elected body representing the public. We are in a pandemic, and changes must be implemented. I understand that. We don't have to violate the public trust. There will be no public recording of the nominee having no hearing. first one, that we will have no words from the nominee. Public will hear no presentation of the nominee, no questions of the counselors, no answers from the nominee. I believe this is even more egregious than when the governor's council voted for a nominee right during the nominee's hearing. Never in our lives have we had a pandemic like this. State government is shut down. There is no emergency to vote someone to the district court without a hearing. And the governor's council cannot compare itself to the court. The courts are dealing with people's lives, and this is not the case of Ms. Costello. You know, they're forced to make decisions such as dangerous hearing. But you know what? Ms. Costello's life is not in danger to warrant not having a public hearing. In the courts, I don't even want to get into it, but if there was a case today, March 25th, I've looked into it, and there would be 60 days delay. It wouldn't come up until May 24th. So this has affected everybody. So what, you know, so my point is saying that, you know, we have to make changes, but we have to follow that we are a public body, and we should be committed to open government. This will be this council's only nominee who will have no public record of the hearing. There is nothing here in our office that anyone wants to come in and see. The public didn't even give notice of this. And I do want to note that State House reporter tried to get in on this call, and she could get no response from the governor's office. This is so, I mean, I can't even say how egregious this is, and there is no reason for it. There are other ways we could have done this. There are places in this State House that we could have been 6 feet apart and had just the nominee in, or any other process. This is wrong, and there's no emergency, and I will not be part of this travesty of justice.
Okay, Counselor. As everyone knows, the hearing process is set by the counselors, and I appreciate your comments. Christopher Ionella, District 4, do you have anything to add?
No.
Eileen Duff, District 5.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm happy to have all the comments. I've been very clear for the last few weeks that our interviews would possibly have to take the place of the hearing. The clerk magistrates are actually slammed in the courts right now, and the SJC already ruled on things like this in 1991. That the governor and the governor alone can call a vote in a hearing at their discretion whenever they want. So it's moot. The point is, I'm also happy Councilor Jubinville brought up his concerns today. I have repeatedly asked all the councils for the concerns, and he is one that never responded. So I'm a little surprised. But anyway, that's fine. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Terry Kennedy.
I just want to say that I am probably the only person who's interacted with Karen Costello in court on a fairly regular basis. She's an outstanding assistant clerk. She does an outstanding job, and she is an outstanding candidate. That's all I have to say. Hello?
Okay.
Yes. That's all I have. That's it.
And Mary Hurley, District 8.
Yes, I talked to the candidate on the phone for quite some time and asked her about the things that I think are important, including her attitudes that would affect public safety, as well as her education background and experience, and also what her philosophy was relative to dealing with the public. And she answered my questions very well and satisfied my issues. I'm not going to repeat all of them, but also, there was a glowing letter of recommendation from the clerk that she works with. And lastly, there was somehow in the conversation, it came up, I believe her husband is a lobbyist, thus the extraordinary amount of donations. I can say without hesitation, I never got any money from him. Yeah. And I think that's probably true for most of the counselors.
Most. So,
in any event, she's got the training, the background, and experience, and what her husband does should not reflect negatively or positively, at least as far as my vote is concerned. Would I like to have had a meeting? Yes. But I think it's fair to say that most of the counselors, with all due respect and deference to whatever your actual age is, are at an age where the pandemic is significantly more of a threat to us than to most normal gatherings. So I think that we tried to make the best of a bad situation. I would hope that it will be the policy that we not have any more nominations until we in fact are safe to meet together and have interviews in the normal course. This was something that was done at the last minute. I think I raised the issue of how we were going to do this because of my concern for my fellow counselors. So based on my interview of the candidate, I found her to be an excellent candidate. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. I know these are unique circumstances. Hearing from you today, it appears that you've done your individual due diligence and vetting of this candidate. And with the nomination, the second, our comments, I would now like to proceed with the roll call, beginning with Joe Ferreira, District 1.
Yes.
Councilor Jubinville?
No.
Councilor Devini?
No.
Councilor Ionella?
Yes.
Councilor Duff?
Yes.
Councilor Kennedy?
Yes.
Councilor Hurley?
Yes.
5-2.
Okay. Thank you all very much. I wanted to follow up on Councilor Hurley's comment about the process. All nominations have been suspended through April 29th. If that date appears that we need to continue with this process, we will, but there will be no further nominations until the time that we all determine it is the right time to do so. As I stated earlier, the financial warrant was approved by all of you for the next 6 weeks. And again, I know these are unique circumstances, extraordinary circumstances for all of us to work through. I believe in the history of this council, this is, I'm sure, given that technology allows for it, this kind of remote participation in this process. Thank you all very much.
Point of information, Lieutenant Governor, it's Councilor Devini. What about the Justice of the Peace and notaries?
They're approved. Yes. We have a special protocol. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You can speak to that.
I'm sorry about that. The councilors have a special protocol, Councilor, that the notaries would be approved, but the Justice of the original JPs will not be approved.
But okay, I would just request a list that we are approving, okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Point of information, Councilor Hurley?
Yes.
It's been brought to my attention by people out in my district that for the restaurants, there's also a meals tax. If that could be suspended, that would be very helpful, I think, to restaurants throughout the state. And secondly, I'm getting a lot of calls from accountants who are concerned that the governor and your administration is not going to extend the tax filing deadline to July 15th following the federal suspension. And that is causing great concern because you're supposed to be doing the federal return before you do your the state return. And if you don't want to go all the way to July 15th, is it a possibility you could go to at least June 15th so that you would have all of the information to be able to act on it in terms of this year's budget and next year's budget?
Very good points to make. The restaurants, you know that they're obviously adhering to the governor's orders. Your restaurant is allowed to do a takeout and delivery business to the extent that that's something you can participate in to support them during this time. Obviously, do so. Yesterday, we filed further relief, and it's before the legislature to allow restaurants to package wine and beer if they have an on-site license to do so. They can package that with their takeout and delivery as well to further help them. And also regarding the deadline for tax filing, all of that is under review, and we will continue to monitor and make decisions and share that information with you.
Follow-up point of view point of order on my colleague Mary Hurley. I was going to bring that up. I would just want to say these restaurants are paying rent there and all of that, and I hope I had misunderstood. I thought that Massachusetts was going along with the president's thing. So I'm sorry to hear that it hasn't been. So I'm glad that was brought up today. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, be safe. Thank you. We will now conclude our business today. Thank you.
Stay safe, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.